Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban.
Bob, you know, you got out there in the last 10 days. You got to see what a lot of folks haven't gotten to see, which is how different people have been affected differently by this pandemic. And if you could share with us a little bit about some of the impressions, some of the things you picked up along your small adventure that you took.
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm extremely grateful that I had that opportunity, because not everybody does, to spend some time with their family, wife and children, and rent an RV, and found a great website where you can rent RVs directly from the owners. Just decided on a Sunday before we were going to leave on a Friday that we were going to go. And why? Because I'm crazy, number one. No, not really, but just in terms of expediting the plans and moving forward, because my children were going to have to go back to work. My children were going to have to go back. My son plays basketball on a regular basis. He was going to have to go back into things. There really wasn't going to be a lot of time through the rest of the summer if things began to resume a semblance of normality. So we had to go, and, you know, going to Mexico or something like that, of course, wasn't an option. And an RV was awesome. Getting out on the road, it does tell a tale once again of two Americas in a certain respect. When I look at what I experienced at first, I thought, well, does nobody watch the news or read the news websites, because there wasn't a mask to be seen. For 11 days, I saw zero masks, zero, including food service workers. And I'm not commenting good or bad on that. I'm just saying that's an objective fact of what occurred. And then it made me think to myself, well, we are living in dense urban areas. News is focused around dense urban areas. And then I had a conversation with a gentleman, reinforced that idea. All right, well, look, Bob, out of every 100,000 people, he said to me, out of every 100,000 people, 6 to 8 of them have the coronavirus. He said, you see this valley, West Yellowstone, you know, 50 miles north, 50 miles south, west, east. There's 115,000 people as far as the eye can see in this valley. That means there's 6 to 8 people that have this virus. Should I change my life in any way for that? And to which I hadn't ever heard it brought up that way before or discussed that way before, and it was fascinating to me. And he says, but I do understand that in a city, when you have 500,000 people, you have 4 million people, 2 million people, 10 million people, that those multiples exist. There is no one size fits all. So you have a lot of this country, and I've experienced it through 5 states over 10 days, and I've traveled quite a bit since the lockdowns occurred because of outside interest and work responsibilities and things I had to do in terms of backpacking and commitments with other friends. At the end of the day, on those trips, I noticed this laissez-faire approach to this. And I don't want to mean that, like, is there one right or wrong approach? I mean, because remember, we talked about Sweden, in a sense. We talked about different approaches globally to this pandemic. And we saw that Japan did nothing, and effectively it's over, or, you know, so to speak, it's over. Other countries around the world did nothing, and the numbers are not dramatically different than countries that put in extensive measures. So I don't really think there is an answer to this. And unfortunately, as we've discussed previously, it's become politicized. But that political element didn't necessarily come through with the folks that I met and talked to along the way. It wasn't, we're doing this because, you know, we're conservative and you're liberal, or because of Trump or anything like that. It was just, they were just pragmatic, the people that I met. And I talked to several dozen over the course of 10 days. And the idea was that it was just not something that they needed to be as concerned about, because where they lived was so sparsely populated, relatively speaking, that it wasn't necessarily a concern. And that doesn't mean everything is rosy in those places, but it was refreshing to get out on the road and to meet people, because as we've talked about, trying to stay positive, trying to keep focused, trying to proceed in as best as you can to keep everything in your life going, whether that's business or personal functions or family functions and otherwise. And we've always tried to say that's the type of thing you should be focused on. Keep moving. And these folks haven't seemingly skipped a beat. And of course, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but that was certainly the experience I had over the course of the last 10 or 11 days. And being with the family, particularly teenagers that you wouldn't have this opportunity with, was just fantastic.
We're really glad to hear it. And I just, there's one thing that you said that is, it's multidimensional. What do I mean by that? You say one size fits all. This is a concept, I think, particularly here in America, that just touches so many things. And it's a little bit outside of the purview of the Hoban Minute to really get into all those things. But as it relates to cannabis, we talk a lot about different state level cannabis regulations. We talk about different federal level regulations. We talk about different global regulations. Whether or not a one size fits all model will ever really work. How to align different models. It's all complex. It's complicated. You bring in political issues, bring in everything. That is, it's difficult. And you make a great point, which is that who is the audience, right, of a lot of the mass media information? Is it really the people in rural locations, or is it really the people in cities? It's difficult to say, but you can kind of glean a little bit of information from it. I want to change over to a really cool thing that happened last week. Maybe it's related, maybe it isn't, but Governor Polis here in Colorado deemed that the week of June 6th, from now until infinity, here in Colorado, is going to be Colorado Hemp Week.
Hemp Week in Colorado. How fantastic is that? You know, it's interesting because as this hemp industry has reemerged over the last 5 to 7 years, increasingly in the last 3 to 4 years, organizations that have been in the hunt, in the fight, so dedicated, so hardworking for years and years and years have pushed the hemp agenda and done so magnificently. And then we had an administration that was willing to put this on paper and change the law. That was pretty remarkable.
Here's the thing, Bob. They raised the flag, right, over the Capitol building here in Colorado.
Made of hemp.
Very, very cool thing. This isn't the first time this has ever happened, though, man. You know Mike Bowman. He's a good friend of all of ours and the great advocate for this industry. And him, and at the time, it wasn't Governor Polis, it was Congressman Polis, were in D.C. They were talking about all of this stuff. I think the year was around 2013. And, you know, it's just to reflect for a moment on 7 years of progress, 7 years of absolute move. We're moving so fast.
Absolutely. And Governor Polis has been an excellent advocate for the industry, both the marijuana side of the industry and the industrial hemp side of the industry, and has for a number of years, and has really put policies in place. And this kind of recognition brings this to people's attention, because you and I know that we work in this industry every day, and working in it every day, you take things for granted. You think things that are normal that are not necessarily normal to other people and other groups. They don't understand that these things are happening, not for better or for worse, just because it's a fact. It's new. This type of thing brings people's attention to the fact that you've got an agricultural crop that is a leader and increasingly going to be a leader in certain elements of business development for the agricultural sector of the state of Colorado and beyond. And Polis represents that and reflects that with his actions. It's pretty remarkable. And I'd also go back, not just Mike Bowman, by the way, but a guy by the name of Jason Love, who is a pioneer. Early in this industry was one of the guys that came out and spread the word and was in D.C. and or North Carolina also putting up hemp flags years ago. So one of the inspirations for us getting hemp flags in our office here in Denver, Colorado.
I was just going to say we're lucky to have a hemp flag that we can look at here on a regular basis.
A 48-star flag, by the way, interestingly, because it was before Alaska and Hawaii were admitted to the Union, and it was flown above a PT boat, as folks would know it, in the U.S. Navy on Gatun Lake in Panama, which is the central lake in the Panama Canal, and the U.S. Navy patrolled that lake at that point in time when the canal was being built for purposes of providing security, police forces for the workers, so that commerce could effectively go forward, so that this canal could be completed. And my grandfather was actually on one of those boats years ago. This flag was not connected to that boat, but that flag comes from that region. Hemp flag, 48 stars, flown above a PT boat in Gatun Lake. Who knew that?
Who knew? Just to wrap this up, we had Justin Benton on the show tonight, and he did such a wonderful job of just articulating how important collaboration, friendship, meeting people, relationships are all in the development of this industry. And we just want to give a huge shout out here at the Hoban Minute to everybody who's come on as a guest, all of our listeners, all of the people that have participated in making this a reality. We've only been doing this for a couple months, but we have a wonderful team here in the office. Obviously, getting to sit down with you on a weekly basis, Bob, is an absolute pleasure. Our producer, Halston Puchek, it could not be a stronger support system for us all and just an absolute inspiration. And we just thank all of you for being a part of this journey with us on the Hoban Minute. Catch more here all the time. You're the best. We're out.